I want to ask you to stand to your feet when you find Hebrews chapter number 11. Would you do that? And we'll read one verse of Scripture tonight. Hebrews chapter number 11. And verse number 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, but he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Our Father, I thank Thee for the good singing tonight, the good fellowship, and the kindred spirit. I thank You, Lord, for the privilege to open up the Bible. Thank You, Lord, for the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost. It's my prayer that You'd help us tonight now, that You'd touch me and let me preach just a little while on this great thought from Thy Word. Thy Word has certainly been a lamp unto my feet, Lord, and a light unto my path. And I rejoice in the Bible and thank God for it. May You open it up tonight and help us to behold great and wondrous things out of Thy law. May the hearts of the children of God find great grace. May springs of living water spring up tonight in every soul. I pray that salvation, Lord, will be extended to the lost and dying, that they might be saved. And may Your people find help in whatever circumstance of life they're involved in. I pray You'll help them and give them victory in it. Touch me now, Lord, in spirit and body as I try to preach Your word tonight. And I'll thank You for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to call your attention to that verse one more time and read it for you one more time, where Brother Paul, writing under the inspiration of God in the Hero Hall of Faith, and he's writing about the man Moses. I'm going to be honest with you. Moses is my hero in the Bible. I told my wife, if we ever had another man child, I want to call that boy Moses. I just love to read about his intimate relationship that he had with the Lord. I don't believe there's another man in all the Bible, with the exception maybe of Paul, that had the relationship with Christ that Moses did. He spoke to Moses as a man speaks to a man face to face. Moses was the meekest man in all of this earth. And God used him greatly in delivering the people of God out of bondage, and then used him to write the first five books of the Bible, what we call the Pentateuch. And God saw fit to put His name here in the Hero Hall of Faith, that you and I may learn from Him and from His life, that we may glean great truths that will be a blessing to us as we live our Christian life. And the Lord said there that it was by faith that He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now, if God will help me tonight, I want to preach a little while on that thought right there. Faith overcoming fear, or a faith that will overcome fear. Brother, I want to say tonight that fear is a reality. You mark it down. Fear is a reality, and fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is an enemy of the children of God. But I'm glad that it was by faith, my friend, that this man by the name of Moses overcome his fear and did not fear not just the king, but the wrath of the king, the Pharaoh of Egypt. Let me say by way of introduction that faith has the power not only to elevate a man's heart above the delights of the senses, but it also has the power to deliver us from the fear of man. Now you just might as well say amen, because we all have feet of clay, and to a certain degree there is fear in our heart of man, and especially men in authority. But I'm glad that God can give us a faith that can overcome our fear. Some of us are afraid of the dark. I know some of these children, when they're at our house and we try to direct them to the bathroom and there's a light not on, they almost get petrified about going into a room where there's no light on. How many of you men been out hunting, say out deer hunting early in the morning, and you're making your way up into that deer stand, and you hear a ruffling in the weeds or the leaves, and you know that it's still dark and you don't really know what it is there? Does it not make the hair kind of raise up just a tad bit on the back of your neck and cause your heart to flutter a little bit wondering what's there? How many of us ever spent a night alone? I'm sure Sister Clayton has. A night alone in a house. Is there not a certain amount of fear about turning off those lights and going to bed when there's nobody there in the house? Well, I'm telling you, our faith that God's given can overcome fear in our life. It can overcome the fear of man. Now, I believe it was Arthur Pink that said, "True faith never courts the smiles of men nor shuns their frowns." Brother, that's right. A real saving faith never courts the smiles of men. That is, that your smile cannot change my preaching or my life one bit if I'm living in real faith. And neither can the frowns and the scorns from men that be without, brother. I'll tell you, our faith ought to be anchored in the very heart of God, and we ought not to be afraid of what man can do unto us, but we ought to just anchor our souls in the faith of God and believe Him, and in the face of our enemies and in the face of a fear, just keep on serving God by His wonderful grace. Amen. Faith and fear are opposites. And yet, strange as it may be, they often find themselves dwelling in the same breast. I want you to let that soak in. Fear and faith are opposites, and yet so many times we find them dwelling in the heart, in the same heart, or in the same breath. And friend, you hear me well, where one of these is dominant, the other will be dormant. Let that soak in a while. Where one of these is dominant, the other will be dormant. That's why there's not many men of making it to the fields of service today. Brother, there is a fear in the hearts of men today. You mark that down. There is a fear of the devil. There is a fear of leaving home. There is a fear of tomorrow. There is a fear in hearts of men of what they may face later on in life. I've got to be quite honest with you. There's times that I fear what may take place in my life next week. Yes, sir. You better believe that. And mark it down, friend, where fear is dominant in our hearts and lives, faith will be dormant. There can be no faith while we're living in fear. But it was by faith that Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, not worried about Pharaoh, wasn't worried at all about the power, about the authority, or what Pharaoh could do to him. But it was by faith that he did not fear the wrath of the king, not just the king, but the wrath of the king. And he went out to serve God, and he did serve God, and died with victory in his soul. He sure did. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." Son, I'll tell you, when we can say that, brother, we've got something. God is my salvation. Hear what I said? God is my salvation. God is my high tower. God is my protection. God is my power. God is my peace. God is the one that sealed me. God is the one that saved me. God is the one that's coming back for me. Brother, behold, he said, God is my salvation. I will not be afraid. That's right. Psalm 56 and verse 3 says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." Hallelujah to God. Even when fear crops up,
The psalmist said, when I'm still afraid, I'll yet put my confidence in Almighty God. I'm going to tell you, there's people in this room tonight that's afraid of death. We fear death, but I'm glad, thank God, that I'm the one that's taken the sting out of death and the fear out of death. If we've got real saving grace in our heart, saving faith in our soul, God will give us the grace to face death in the finality with a smile on our face and a spring in our step and a shout in our soul rejoicing about moving out into the presence of God. Amen. These folks that fear death. Folks that fear the devil. Fear, it's real. You better know it's real. And don't you think that this wasn't real in Moses' life? Do you realize the power that this man had? Here's what I kind of thought today, Brother Wayne. I wonder today if the rulers today had the power that Pharaoh had, and we were living more or less in the same time that Pharaoh lived in, I wonder how brazen we'd be today about criticizing Bill and Hillary. Y'all may get to understand what I'm trying to preach on. That's right. Pharaoh's day wasn't like our day. We've got a little bit of moral laws and some laws of the land that we got to go by. But son, in Pharaoh's day, Pharaoh was the law. Anytime he got tired of Moses sticking his nose in his business, all he had to done was give the command to either execute him or lock him up. And Moses knew quite well he was facing death or facing incarceration every time, or facing exile every time he intruded into Pharaoh's office. But son, not fearing the wrath of the king, he kept on serving God because he knew he had a job to do for Almighty God. I wonder how brazen some of our evangelists would be in preaching about Bill and Hillary if Bill and Hillary had the power Pharaoh had. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Let that soak in a while. Huh? That's right. If they really believe Hillary could march in there with an army and pack them off and shoot them in four firing squad, and I mean could really do it and have no remorse about it and no worry about it, no retaliation about it, I wonder how strong our faith would be then. Son, it's easy to have faith when you've got the laws of the land behind you. Amen. It's easy to have faith about something when you've got the laws of life behind you. But son, when you're facing an almighty monarch that has the power to snuff your life out and have no regret about it, no worry about it, I'm telling you, it's another story. And Moses had that kind of a faith that he did not fear the very wrath of the king, his power, nor his authority. He had a job to do for God. I'll get to the message in a minute. I ain't got there yet. Now notice this. Moses' faith was set forth in 3 degrees. First of all, he feared not man to begin with. I'll tell you, you're looking at a fellow that has feared men. I'll never forget when I first started preaching. Why, Brother Nolan made the announcement, said, now next Wednesday night, said, Brother Gary is going to preach for us. Instantly, my knees begin to knock. And they begin to smote one another, I mean very sharply, with a loud clatter and noise. And on that Sunday, Wednesday night, when I mounted the platform, buddy, my knees was really a knocking. I'm telling you, I thought it was about to throw a rod. And the knees was a knocking. My mouth got so dry, bless God, I believe I was spitting cotton candy. That's how nervous I was, because there's a feller, a big Irishman, sitting on that front tube with them glasses down like that and looking up at me, buddy, over them eyebrows. And I knew that man had the power. All he'd had to do was do like that, and I'd have had to come down off that thing real inside. You know what I'm saying? I know what it is to fear a man. I've stood up in front of a judge's bench in a court of law, and knowing a man there's got the power to put me behind the bars of the power to let me out on the street, and I've stood there with my knees a-knocking. But Moses, my friend, his faith in 3 degrees, he did not fear men. And I want to say in the second degree, he did not fear the greatest of men. Amen. I will I behold," he said, "the Lord is my salvation. I will not be afraid." He did not fear the greatest of mankind. Son, you think he didn't know the power that that man had? He was brought up in that house. There's no doubt he had seen times when Pharaoh had executed men, put men in prison. That's right, he had the power. Oh, Moses knew quite well. That was, and by the way, this man was not a peon in the world, much less in his own land. He was the Pharaoh of Egypt, but at that time, Egypt was the strongest nation in all the world. This was the most mighty, most powerful man in all the world, but Moses knew that he had one, thank God, in heaven that had all power, and the one in heaven had put this man on the throne, and Moses was not afraid of the power of the king. Hallelujah to God. No, sir. Son, I'm glad I got one that's all powerful. Amen. He's not just a king. He's the king. He's not just a lord. He's Lord of lords. And he holds a golden scepter of his power in his right hand. Amen. That's right. We're going to find out in a little bit. He ordained this meeting. Amen. That's right. Then, in that third degree, he did not fear which most affrights most men today. And that was the wrath of the king. He didn't fear the wrath of the king. I mean, what the king could do to him. He wasn't afraid of his wrath. I'll tell you what, we're scared today. We're so backed up in the corner like Brother Thompson preached a few weeks ago that we're scared to death to get out and do anything. We're afraid we'll get locked up over it. We're scared to death going to jail. It's one thing I like about old Brother Roloff. Son, he didn't, hey, that old man didn't fear, bless God, the governor of Texas. Nor the state of Texas. Nor the president of this country. Son, I'm telling you, we ought to be the same way. I'm afraid, bless God, that the laws of the land have shoved us up into a corner and shut our mouths and souls are down and going to hell because we're afraid of the wrath of the king. Now stay with me now. Stay with me. Three ways this faith was made manifest. And I don't have time to read all these. But you might want to mark them down. At least three times in Moses' life that this faith was made manifest. I want everybody to look right up here and get this. And this is not exciting, but I got to tell you this. There has been debate, or there's been a difference of opinion on which time this is talking about Moses. Was it talking about the first time when he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and left Egypt? Or was it the second time after he had already left Egypt and went out behind that mountain taking care of that little flock of sheep and had been there 40 years? I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe from verse number 25, and then verse 26 in our text, I'll tell you what, I believe 40 years had went by during those two things. I believe it's talking about the second trip when he came back to deliver the people of God. Somebody said, Brother Holt, might have been the first. Oh, no, it wasn't the first. Because if you read in Exodus chapter number 2, that first instance when he left Egypt, my friend, when he realized that it was known that he had killed that Egyptian, the Bible said, Moses feared. Moses feared. But honey, this second time when he came back to do business, hallelujah to God. God just touched my soul on the second trip back, buddy. When he come back to do business, he had already been at the mountain. He had already seen the burning bush. He had already been anointed by God. He had already been instructed by God, filled with God, and sent out to do a job for God. And the faith God gave him at the mountain had cast off all fear. Somebody said, how could it? I believe he fell in love with Jesus out there. And perfect love casteth out fear. How well do you love Jesus tonight? That's the question. Perfect love casts out all fear. Son, when he saw that bush a burning, woo! Amen. And turned aside to see that great sight. And then he heard. He didn't only see faith cometh by hearing. He didn't just see a bush, but he heard the word. Moses, Moses, take your shoes off, son, you're on holy ground. I'm telling you, I'm glad that God always gives us faith by the hearing of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Almighty God. Amen. That's right. And I ain't got to my message yet. I'm still in second gear. Amen. But I believe it's the second trip. The second trip. When he'd already been to the mountain, saw that bush burn and not consumed, been instructed of God, and had headed back down to Egypt and got down there that second time, he did not fear the wrath of the king. Now that faith that overcome fear was manifest in three different ways. Number one, in his confrontation with Pharaoh. In his confrontation. Son, in chapter number 5, the Bible said that Moses and Aaron went in, and get this, they didn't ask Pharaoh. Y'all believe in a King James 1611 Bible being infallible, inerrant, without a mistake in it? They didn't go in and ask Pharaoh to let the people go. My Bible said, and afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh. Amen. They wasn't afraid of it. They didn't ask him like a little timid houseboy, can I go use the bathroom? No, sir. Moses walked in and said, thus saith the God of the Hebrews, let my people go. Hallelujah to God. That's right. That's right. Said, let my people go, and that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. No, Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. But I'm telling you, even his rejection did not detour that man with great faith. He did not fear. Hey, I tell you, man might be courteous one time, but old Moses went in 10 times. I'd say Pharaoh got a little irritated. I'd imagine before that 10th plague and the firstborn was killed, I'm sure a few times down in his heart, he said to himself, if that egg sucker comes in here one more time, he's getting it, bless God. I'm going to turn loose on him. I'm killing him. And I'm sure that the devil jumped up on Moses' back and said, one more time, big boy, you're mincemeat, you're buzzard bait. They'll throw your hide out and let the birds of the fowl and the worms of the earth devour your carcass. But Moses probably looked on his shoulder, spit in the devil's face, and went right back a second time and said, God told you to let my people go. That's right. Not fearing the wrath of the king in his confrontation. Now, I've preached this before, but I'll remind you of it. That's just like a confrontation with the devil. Now, folks, we're no match for Satan. Don't you misunderstand me. But I'm telling you, bless the Lord, if we're a redeemed child of God, the devil can't push us around like we're nobody. He can't push you around. Why you don't let him push you around all the time? Let the bristles of faith raise up on the back of your neck and look the devil square in the eye and tell that egg-sucking reprobate that the God of the Hebrews has commanded him to let you go. Some of y'all are saved, but I'm telling you, you're still in shackles to Him. Amen. You've got the shackles of sin broken and you've been delivered from sin, but Satan still, sin don't have dominion over you, but the devil still leads you around like a little waterfall. Amen. And you don't have an ounce of victory in your life. God help us. God help us. Somebody said, well, I've already talked to God about it once. Talk to Him about it again. Spit in the devil's face and say, well, I don't want to make the devil mad. He's already mad. Ain't that dumb? I've heard folks say, I don't want to offend a lost person. I'm trying to get them saved. What are you going to do? Get them lost? They're already lost. Get them mad. Make them a little mad. Get them to thinking. Somebody said, I'm afraid of them. Look them in the eyeball and tell them God said they're going to hell. Ain't that right, big boy? A man going to hell if he don't get born again by the grace of God. And now don't offend my loved ones and tell them they're lost. Get out of here. I never will get them in church if they think they're lost. You never will get them in church as long as they think they're saved. I ain't fooling around with any of them anymore. Why, Brother Hall, I'm going to be in church today. I'm going to be in church tomorrow. I'm going to be in church then. You know what I'm going to start telling them? You lost. Why don't you admit it? You're lost and going to hell. Why don't you get right with God and then you'll want to come to church? Amen. That's right. In that confrontation. And by the way, there were 10 of them. 10 of them. Now, I ain't got them a message yet. Please, let me preach my message to you. I want to get to that faith and help us when I get to that faith, when I get away from the illustration and get to the application of the message. Okay? But there was also, it was manifest also when Pharaoh offered compromise. Now, buddy, this is good right here if you'll get a hold of this. Do you know what Pharaoh told Moses that last time when he went to him? He said, now, Moses, he said, here's what you can do. Now, one time he told him, he said, all right, said, you and the men go on, but leave the kids here. And then this last time, that last confrontation, when God pronounced judgment on the firstborn, here's what Pharaoh said. He said, now, Moses, he said, you and the children and women and men, said, everybody go, but said, leave your cows here. Said, we don't want you to take none of your cattle. Moses said, no, sir. When I leave, he said, we're taking our cattle. Bless God and your cattle too. Are y'all hearing me? That's right. He said, we're taking our cows and your cows too because God. He said, when we get out there in the wilderness, we don't know what all God wants. And when we get out there, we want to be fully prepared. Have everything we need. Bless the Lord when we get out there. Now, can you imagine telling a king that? That we're not only going to take our cows, we're taking yours too, buddy. We ain't leaving short of them. Oh, Pharaoh got mad. Now, you better listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. The devil will offer you a compromise.
That's right.
There's when your faith, there's when you're going to have the kind of faith that overcomes fear. Look here. That's right. You right, and I hope I can get this out. I hope Holy Ghost, help me. Please help me, Jesus. Help me right now. I'll tell you, there may come a time in your life. Maybe we'll just take, for instance, maybe the salvation of one of your loved ones. And you feel like you pushed them to the limit and you're gonna make them mad and offend them. And I'm gonna tell you what the devil will do. He'll slip up on your back and say, now all you gotta do is just back off just a little, just back off from them, you know. Give them a little breathing room. Give them a little breathing room. They'll get over it and they'll get saved. I'm telling you, that's his compromise. Amen. He'll tell you what you'll do. You'll run them off. You'll run them off. Amen. You'll offend them. And by the way, if you get too dogmatic, get to be too much of a fanatic about religion, throwing your television out and all that, you'll offend mom-in-law and daddy-in-law and outlaw and all them other law. Amen. And make them mad. And you'll never. I'm telling you, that's a compromise. That's a cop-out from the devil, buddy, from his lips. He's a lion like a dog to you. Like this mess right here. I never seen makes me puke. I mean, that mess makes me puke. Why, Brother Hall, if you'd let your hair grow down over your ears like Dr. Strack, wow, you'd fill up the church. And if you'd become a good cusser like John Rawlins, why, you could fill up the church. Somebody said, you think he cusses? Well, they used to call him Cussing John. He's preached in the temple right over there. I'd say Mr. Clayton probably heard him preach. Bob Lamb used to preach for him all the time. He's now running with Southern Baptists, Jerry Falwell, and a whole crowd of them. I'm going to tell you what Jerry Falwell is, and I'm going to tell you what John Rawlins is. They're the same thing that this singer on the back is that's going to sing for him. Y'all see, he looks like something, bless God, out of a punk rock magazine. I'm going to tell you what the whole bunch of them are. They're apostates. Yeah. Hey, you know what an apostate's philosophy is? The same thing Pharaoh's was. Hey, take a little bit, but don't take it all. I'm going to tell you what, friend, serving God, it's either all for God or it's nothing at all. He don't want your half-hearted religion. He wants all of you, not half of your heart. He wants all of your heart, not half of your life, all of your life. God wants all you got for Him. That's right. Somebody said, He'll settle for a little less. No, He won't. You can't please Him half-hearted. No, sir. And so that was faith was manifest when Pharaoh offered compromise. But I believe the best one yet. That faith was really put to the test. Now everybody get this. When Pharaoh had him cornered. You ever been cornered by the devil? When they come up to that Red Sea. And there's Pharaoh behind them, and that bunch of Hebrews started saying, oh, Moses, I would to God we'd have stayed down in Egypt. They wasn't just because there wasn't no graves down there, you brought us out to die under the hand of Pharaoh. And look at us. Here we are by the Red Sea. We can't go forward, and Pharaoh's behind us, and we can't go backward. And he's got us cornered. Has the devil ever thought he had you cornered? Huh? Here's what Brother Moses said. And I'm quoting. Fear not. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. For this Pharaoh whom you see today said, ye shall see him no more. And God will fight your battles for you. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, buddy, you don't know what faith is until the devil puts you up in a corner, hems you up in a corner to where you can't get out, have no way to run. Somebody said, what am I going to do? There's nothing you can do but stand still. And what will God do? He'll make a way. He'll make a way. He'll make a way for me. Made a way through the sea, didn't he, fellas? Huh? Huh? What, Brother Steve? What's he told old Steve? Well, I got you in a corner, big boy. Got your wife sick, and you can't do nothing. Can't get out and preach like you want to preach. And I've got you hemmed up in a corner. And I'm going to take care of you, buddy. That's right. I'm going to put the pressure on you. That's what the devil wants to do. Yeah, I'm going to put the pressure on you. I'm going to ask you, how much faith have you gotten in the pressure? Can you stand under the pressure, son, when the heat gets hot? Amen. Can you stand when you're in the pressure cooker? Amen. I'm going to push you up in a corner. Get your wife good and sick and get your quiver full. Help everybody. Get your quiver full. Get you up there in that corner and get your quiver full and all them kids. By the way, Steve, I'm going to move you out there in the sticks in that little old trailer house. You've been used to that nice home over there, and I'm going to put you in that little trailer house. I've got him now, boys. He'll cave in now, not if he's got faith. You hear me well? If God don't make a hole some way, if he don't make a hole some other way, hallelujah, make a hole in the sky and we'll go up. Said God will make a way. If he don't make a way through it, over it, under it, we'll go up. I'll guarantee you on that. God will make a way. That's my God. Yes! That's right. Just stand still, Steve. That's right. I was sitting in that basement yesterday praying for the church. Try to pray for you every day, church. I sat in that basement yesterday praying for the church. It come time to pray for the kids. And I was praying for all our kids and our grandchildren to be saved. And God had done and flooded my soul. And I started praying for Lisa and her baby. And I was worried about that little baby. And as before she came back, and I was praying for that baby. I got to praying for Tammy, and I was worried about Tammy. I said, Lord, I said, here's one of my babies carrying a child and it may die. Here's another one of my kids and said, I said, she's sick. And I said, God, the devil's told me she's going to die. And I said, Lord, you told me in your word that I would yet increase more and more, me and my children. And about that time, the Holy Ghost said, that's right, son. And what I say, I mean. Ain't that right? I'm going to tell you, I couldn't control myself. I'm going to tell you, Brother Hall ain't a hypocrite, son. I got the holy giggles in the basement of the house. Brother James had a time by myself. Hallelujah. Amen.
That's good.
Amen. That's right. Son, when the devil puts you in the corner, have you got faith, my friend, that will not fear the wrath of the devil when it's got you in a corner and there's nowhere to run? Yes! Yes, Brother Jerry! Hallelujah to God! That's right. Now try to get to the message. That kind of faith. Brother Hall, what about that kind of faith? I want to say that kind of faith, number one, must stand in the power of God. It must stand in the power of God. Now, somebody said, Brother Hall, what on earth do you mean, stand in the power of God? Would you believe that old Brother Hall didn't even write down his text verse? Will somebody help me where that scripture's at? I believe it's in Corinthians. Isn't it talking about Brother Paul there? No. Does somebody know where it's at real quick? I've preached on it here before. It talks about a faith that stands in the power of God. Huh? 1 Corinthians 4. Huh? I don't believe that's it, but it might be. I won't find it because I won't read it. I don't know why I didn't write it down, church, but I didn't. But I'm going to take time to read it. Devil don't want me to. Here it is. 1 Corinthians 2. That's right. And brethren, when I came to you, came not I with excellency of speech or the wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I'm going to tell you what kind of faith Moses had, and I'm going to prove it to you. He had a faith that stood in the power of God and not in his own wisdom, in his own intellect, in his own abilities, but his power rested in Almighty God. That's right. Now, everybody pay attention now. I'm going to try to help you. I'm going to try to help the church. Somebody said, where? Now look here. We've preached about power. I've preached about having the power of God. I've talked about the power of God, wanting the power of God. I prayed for the power of God. Somebody said, I want the power of God. Friend, we haven't never preached where it comes from. Where's that power come from that you can, by faith, stand in it, not fear the wrath of the king? Well, I believe we go back to Moses and that burning bush. You know the story when God called him up on that mountain and God began to deal with him about going back down into the land of Egypt and delivering them people. And in chapter number 4 and verse 1, Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. The Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. He said, a rod. Now, hey, that little shepherd's rod. God gave him a shepherd's rod. He said, that's right. He said, Moses, throw that rod down on the ground. Oh, Moses threw it down on the ground. It turned into a snake, and he jumped back from it. God said, reach down by the tail and take it up. He reached down by the with his hand and took that snake by the tail, and she turned right back in to a shepherd's rod. Are y'all hearing me? Everybody listen now. Everybody listen carefully. That same little shepherd's rod Moses carried down into the land of Egypt. And when he came into where Pharaoh's enchanters were, he took that rod and throwed it down on the floor and it turned into a serpent. And son, Pharaoh's enchanters threw their rods on the floor and they turned into serpents. Somebody said, what happened, Brother Hall? The rod of Moses swallowed up the serpents of the enchanters of Pharaoh. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying God's rod of power has got the power to swallow up the serpent, bless God, and let us stand by faith in the presence of the King. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. And that rod was his power. He stretched that, shook that rod out over the Nile River and turned it into blood. Are you hearing me? He lifted it to heaven and brought flies and lice and frogs into the land. Son, that shepherd's rod was a rod of power. That's where our power's at, is in the shepherd's rod. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what do you mean? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down by green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And he's got a rod and he's got a staff that comforts my soul. Hallelujah to God. That's right. That shepherd's rod is our power. That's right. Jesus, my shepherd, has got a rod of power. And it's all mine. And it's all yours. I'm going to tell you, he might take that stick and knock knots on the devil's head with it. Amen. Yeah. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What about that? God said, take that rod and throw her down, Moses. Threw her down, turned into a snake. And it had the power to swallow the snakes of Pharaoh, buddy. And he'll swallow up the big serpent, too. Amen. I might as well say this right here. I want to say it. God laid it on my heart. You see, faith, real true faith, does not originate with us. It originates with God. And look here now. And God imparts faith. For by grace are you saved. Come on, church. Through faith, and that not of yourselves. What is it? It's the gift of God. Who give you that faith? God give you that faith. And God can exercise. I said He can because it's His. It's His faith. He can exercise that faith in your life any time God wants to because it's His. He can resurrect her and bring her to life. You don't need as much faith at certain times you do at other times. Moses needed more faith when he was confronting Pharaoh than he did when he was over in the land of Goshen eating watermelons. That's right. And he needed more faith when he was standing at that Red Sea than he did when he was sitting down in Goshen eating watermelons. God knew just the right time to increase that faith and let it swell up in him and stand in the power of God. Look here. God help us. Do you know what? Hey. You know what he did when the water parted of the sea?
Right.
Stuck that little shepherd's rod out over the water, boys. Woo! What power! I'm telling you, my great shepherd can part the waters of the Red Sea when I'm cornered and lead us across on dry land. Hallelujah to God. That's right. It's faith stands, a faith that fears not the wrath of the king stands in the power of God. And the power of God is seen in the shepherd's rod. Now, I hope Brother Sheehorn's listening right now. Because I'm fixing to say something that'll hair lift every Baptist in the country. That's right. I will hair lift every Baptist that's listening to me right now. Notice in that same chapter, after God had shown him the power of that shepherd's rod, then God told him this. He said, now, Moses, where's my specs? Praise God. Amen. I believe God called Balaam to preach if he keeps that. God said, that they may believe that the Lord God of the fathers, in verse number 5, so and so. He said, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, the hand was as leprous as snow. And he said, put it back in there, Moses. And he put it in again. And he put his hand into his bosom again. And he plucked it out of his bosom. And it was, behold, it had turned again and was as white as a flesh. And God told him, it'll come to pass if they won't believe, if they won't believe and neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the second one. Now look here. If the devil won't, look here now, I'm fixing to show you what. If the devil won't believe that first sign of power, he'll believe the second sign. And here's what that second sign was. It was sanctification. Oh, yes. God sanctified, look here, God sanctified. This would do all you young preachers to hear what I'm saying right now well. God sanctified the hand that held the rod of power. God, somebody said, oh, that's when Moses was saved. Hogwash! Moses was saved 40 years before that when he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He spent 40 years on the backside of a desert in prayer alone with God. And after 40 years, God sanctified him and gave him power and sent him back to Egypt to do a job. I tell you, preacher, something. If you want to do a job for God, then you're going to have to lay with God until that sanctifying hand comes upon you. God will not let a dirty hand a hold of the power of God. You see, he put it on the bosom. Because for the bosom's what he is, and the hand's what he works with. That's right. God said, what you are and what you work with are sanctified. Your heart's sanctified. Your hands are sanctified. Put your hand on the staff of my power and go down into Egypt and do a job for God. Hey, that's why I'm not afraid of this charismatic crowd around here. Somebody said, they'll quit giving money.
I can't help it if they do. I'm not afraid of them, and I'm not going to let that crowd back me up into a corner and shut my mouth from preaching. I'm getting bolder every day, Brother Mike. That's why I'm not afraid of the sodomite crowd or the news media that tries to make... Oh, no! That's right. I know whom I believe. That's right, and I'm persuaded He's able to keep what I've committed unto Him. And besides that, He sanctified me by His prayer, hallelujah to God, and given me a prayer to stand against the devil and against his sin.
Me and Brother Wayne went to the knife show a few weeks ago. They've got a new pastor and they're holding the church up there. And Brother Shehorn introduced me to his pastor, a young man, said, I want to introduce you to Brother Hall. And I shook, he said, oh, yeah. I said, I've heard a whole lot about you. I said, good. I hope he said every bit of it good. And old Brother Seahorn said, he is one of the only sanctified Baptists I know, but said he don't always claim to be. But he just ain't heard me preach enough, because I is sanctified and do claim to be sanctified. I don't give a flip what the Baptist brethren think about me. Did y'all hear what I said? Do you want the power of God? Do you want to be able to stand against the wrath of the king and not fear? Do you want to have a faith that is bold and courageous as a lion, able to stand when you're cornered by the devil? Then, son, I'm telling you, the key to it is the rod of God and a sanctified life. That's the key to it, buddy. Yes, sir. Amen. But there's a third element in that power. Oh, Moses said, he said, I'm not an eloquent. He said, I can't talk too well. God said, Moses, who made your tongue? Who made the deaf to be deaf? And who gave hearing? And who made you what you are? Somebody said, well, I can't do too much because I ain't. Who made you what you are? Son, God has made you what you are.
Right.
Lack it or love it, you are what you are because God created you and made you that way.
Amen.
If I had my say-so about it, I'd be 6'4", weigh 240 pounds, be muscle-bound. But I'm telling you what little bit I've got there. I used to have it up here when I went in the Army back in 1964. But 33 years later, what's here is now hanging down here. Huh?
Huh?
That's good. That's one blessing. I keep eating that psyllium. I may have to, bless God, take my pants up or not. That psyllium, I think, something else, boys. No, I'm a wearing away to nothing. Hallelujah to God. Told Miss Hall last night, Josh called me last night. I told Miss Hall, I said, if the devil don't get his foot in the door, I've got me a buddy right there.
Amen.
I believe that too, buddy. Amen. That's right. I forget what I was even preaching now. I talked about one more thing. What you are, God's made you. God told him in verse 12, he said, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. So in that power, he had a shepherd's rod, a sanctified hand, but he had a schooled tongue. God taught him. You hear me well, buddy? Hey, all of us, even as Christians, we are not eloquent orators to testify, to teach, to witness, until the Lord has schooled our tongue in what to say. God said, Moses, he said, I'll be with that tongue. I'll teach you what to say. Hear me well, young preachers. You better lay with God and let God teach you what to say. Amen. Do you realize that with the power of that tongue, you've got the power in 30 minutes to tear down what somebody else has done 30 years?
I
had a man call me the other day and he said, Brother Hall, he said, I'm a praying for a pastor to take my place in this church I'm pastoring. He said, I feel God may be leading me to another church. And said, I don't want you to tell nobody about it, who I am. He said, just pray for me. But said, I'm telling you right now, I don't want no young novice. I want a man of God.
Amen.
Somebody that has a little bit of etiquette. Knowledge. No, I'm just poofing. I was supposed to get a joke out of y'all, but see, right now you done clammed up. You ain't going to laugh and move.
Amen. But God, that schooled tongue is an instrument of power. Do you realize that with the tongue, Adolf Hitler ruled a nation? How do you think these big fangled-dangled boys build these churches with 3,000 and 4,000 and 5,000 people? I'm going to tell you something. They ain't building them on conversions. They have got a slick little tongue. I've almost come to the conclusion any church over 1,000 is apostate. God ain't building too many big ones now. No, sir, buddy. You better mark down what Brother Hall is telling you. God ain't building too many big ones. Amen. But that faith will stand in the power of God. I want to say number two, a faith that is not that fears not the wrath of the king not only stands in the power of God, but it is surrenders itself to the promises of God. That's right. Look here. God told Moses in chapter number 2, when Moses is talking with him about going there, the Lord said in chapter number 3 and verse number 12, He said, "And certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." Everybody look right up here at me. Somebody said, what kind of a promise did God give Moses? Hey, Moses knew he was going into Egypt to face a king, a Pharaoh, a man of power. He said, "I am afraid of that man." And everybody, listen, man, I'm getting ready to give you something good. God said, "Don't fear him." I'm going to tell you why I don't fear him, Moses. Because I'm going to bring you back here again. He said, "Moses, you're going to return to this mountain." Oh, somebody said, "Brother Hall, that don't mean nothing." It don't. Might not mean nothing to you, but it does to me. I'm going to tell you what I got out of it. Moses made it, boys, and because Moses made it, we are going to make it! Why worry? That's what, Brother Steve, why worry? Why fear? Moses made it. Oh, yeah, Rahab made it. That's right, Abraham made it. Thank God Elijah made it. Enoch made it. All the saints of God that had faith made it. And if they made it, we're going to make it. We're making it, Sister Clayton. We are going in on the wings of an eagle. Hallelujah to God. God told old Moses he's going to make it. And if Moses made it and he did make it, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? We're going to make it. We got the promise of return. We are going. That's right. It may take place tonight. Hallelujah to God. What a promise from God. Oh, what a promise from God. I'm going to tell you, that's the thing that keeps me going. Somebody said, "You talk about it all the time." You don't. You that day. Yes, you're right. Because I've got it on my heart and on my mind. Lately, I got leading on my mind. Woo! Heaven sounding sweeter. Leaving all the cares behind. Get Jerome out of poor old Freddy's where he can get some rest. See, your faith, friend, if we can live above fear because of the promise of God. He told Moses, "I certainly will go with thee, and you're coming back to this mountain." Has he not told us? Has he not told us, "I'll never forsake thee and never fail thee"? Oh, what a constant companion is the sweet Holy Ghost of God that dwells in our bosom. Hallelujah to God. Now I'm trying to hurry. I want to say number three now, that faith that fears not the wrath of the king stands in the power of God, surrenders to the promise of God, but it stays in the presence of God. He said there in verse 12, and he said, "Certainly I will be with thee." Let me ask you something. Do you stay in the presence of God? Whether on the mountain or in the valley, do you stay in the presence of God? And somebody said, "Brother Hall, how can that be? How can you stay in the presence of God?" I want you to listen to what Arthur Pink said. Arthur Pink said, "Fear is a result of distrust, of taking the eyes off of God, of being unduly occupied with difficulties and troubles." Are you hearing me? Are you more occupied with your troubles than you are with God? Do you Is your eyes always on your troubles, or do you get them on Him? He said, certainly I'll be with thee. Do you know the first time Moses went into Pharaoh? And Pharaoh said, I don't know the Lord. And I am not going to let the people go. I'm not going to. He said, furthermore, he said, I'm going to add to their labors. They can make the same amount of bricks and gather their straw too. You know what Moses done? Moses didn't say unto God, that's it, I'm done. I give up, Lord, I quit. I know you sent me down here, Lord, but I don't see no way of getting this thing. I can't make it. Well, I mean, we're down here in Egypt and everybody's against us. Nobody loves me. You know what Moses done? He said, Lord, you sent me down here to do a job. And you gave me the promise back up yonder on that mountain, Lord, that you would not only deliver this people, but that you would bring them back to that mountain and we would worship God in that mountain. And here Pharaoh said he wouldn't let them go. I need to know what to do. And God said, Moses, get up and go tell him again.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? Are y'all listening tonight? The presence of God. He did not let his troubles drive him away from God. But he let his troubles draw him to God. God puts troubles and difficulties in your life not to put a wedge between you and Him, but to draw you closer to Him. To break your heart. To enable you to lay on your bed at night and weep and pray for souls and pray for your family. Pray for revival. Pray for the blessings of God on the church. Pray for one another. God puts difficulties in your life to drive you to your knees, to where you can communicate with God in that secret place of prayer. Oh, what presence. That's where He's at, church, yonder behind the veil. And troubles and difficulties will drive you behind that veil if you really say, into the presence of God. I will say this in closing. Faith that fears not the wrath of the king is a faith that is sure of the protection of God. He said there in verse 12, he said, and certainly I will be with thee. What a promise. What protection. I'll be with thee. Don't you fear the wrath of the king, Moses. I'll be with thee. If I can close with saying this, what he's telling you tonight, don't you fear the world. Don't you fear the devil. Don't you fear the troubles and difficulties, the reproaches, all the problems. Don't fear that. He said, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. And church, if Moses made it, we'll make it. If we're genuinely saved, we'll make it. Standing in the power of Almighty God, not fearing the wrath of the King. Let's stand together.